The church that I served before coming here did a massive remodeling project a couple of years before we left. It was a building much similar to this, built in 1913, and so it had 9 different levels in a 3-story building, you know, kind of like our half level over here to get down to the English room. In fact, the space that is similar to our English room and hallway there had 6 different little rooms that it was cut up into. We needed to make that space more like what people would use today. The whole time that we were talking about renovating that space, really to put an elevator in, the architects that we were working with kept using a phrase. They kept talking about needing a real front door. The idea was that in a building like this, newcomers very often have no idea where they're going. Think about it. Those of you who are here for, how many of you, when you came here the first time, came through those doors? Yeah, most of us. How many did today? Yeah, very different demographic, very, very different crew. For most of us who've been here for a long time, the large Madison Street entrance is not the one that we use. Whether it's because of parking or needing nursery access or wanting to go to the choir room or not being able to use stairs, most of our long-term members use other entrances. And most visitors use the Madison Street doors. Did you know that that's why I greet people at those doors at the end of worship? I use those doors, even though there are fewer people that go out them, because that is where I have the most likelihood of being able to welcome a stranger. As I've been reflecting on this church's 181 years and our 181st annual meeting today, I've been thinking about where God has taken this church since 1836 and where God is calling us in our next phase of life. And through all of that, this idea of a real front door has been a rich symbol. For centuries, new people have come to the Church of Jesus Christ through sanctuary doors, through worship. Many, if not most of us, come to worship, have found a spiritual home, and have then gotten involved in other aspects of the church. And that's a good and reasonable access point. But for more and more people, worship isn't the draw that it once was. Now, I'm not saying that worship here is not good. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that worship isn't important. I'm saying that as we look forward, it may not function as the real front door that it once did. As we've been doing goal setting in the last 2 years since I've been here, we've articulated that reaching out beyond our current community is an important part of what we believe that God is calling this church to. We believe that the good news of our God as it is lived here at Union is something special. And we believe that there are people all across the metro area who would be very much interested in being a part of our church. They'd be interested if they encountered our message of God's inclusive love that believes in science and reason and is committed to caring for the poor and the vulnerable. I'm convinced that more and more, as we look to find those people, as we look to share God's good news ever wider, that coming through the sanctuary door will not be the primary way that people first engage the good news. More and more, I think that we need to create mission and outreach opportunities that will be attractive to strangers. Did you know that we have numerous people who are participating in our adult education sessions, our seminary secrets and Bible study, who don't participate in worship? The same thing with people who participate in the different mission and outreach opportunities that we have. As we look to the next phase of our church's life, we need to be looking at everything that we do as a doorway through which strangers may enter our church. That means things like better communications online and on social media about youth offerings and education opportunities and mission projects and music offerings. It means that each of our ministries needs to be asking themselves regularly, how can people who are either newly here or even people who haven't crossed our doorstep yet could access these offerings? It means that each of us, in inviting friends and neighbors to join not only for worship, but for all of the other things that our church offers as well. We need to be doing those other things so well, but we also need to be doing them with an eye to how it is that this thing could bring Christ to someone who is not yet here. The things like our immigrant welcoming study that's going to be kicking off during Lent, and our Valentines for Veterans project this coming weekend, are projects that could be offerings that give people a taste of who we are and could be entry points, doorways, into the life of our church. In the gospel we read today, Jesus tells us that we are to be salt for the earth, light for the world, a city on a hill. Have you ever thought about what salt does? It brings flavor. You know, obviously here in Wisconsin in January, we think about it melting the ice. So when this gospel talks about it, salt not being good for anything except being trampled underfoot, I think, wow, different context. But even more than that, do you know what salt does scientifically in the body? Very simply, salt does so much more. Very simply, it allows our cells to transmit energy. That's why athletes drink Gatorade after working out. Salt is one of the major electrolytes in our bodies. It's why we call those off-brands energy drinks. So what Jesus is telling us in the gospel is that we are called to transmit his energy. We are called to be salt that allows people, and allows his peace and his inclusion and his healing and his grace to flow from one person to another. As we look forward to the life of our church, we are called to help people access this energy, the energy of God's grace, not just through this sanctuary, but not just through worship, but through all of our ministries and activities. Friends, may all of us, as individuals and this church, be a doorway through which people encounter God's goodness, God's grace, the salt that transmits God's love and God's hope. May it be so. Amen.